A lot coming your way before we step aside at 7 o'clock. This reminder, the Tennessee Smokies back in action tonight as they start a series with Chattanooga. They won 2 out of their 6 that they played at Rocket City. Big week of promotions, and we'll likely catch up with Mick Gillespie at some point this week. But it's always great when the Smokies play at home, and you can follow the action right here on the Sports Animal. And right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6, and Jimmy, there is an awesome prize that is up for grabs this evening.
Absolutely. So we have got a $25 gift certificate to Proper Popcorn. Classic concept reimagined, not just a popcorn shop. It's an experience. You can choose from over 50 handcrafted small batch popcorn flavor combinations. You can create your perfect popcorn treat. It is the perfect place for a family outing, date night, or getting a gift for a loved one, located at 9700 Kingston Pike. Also have 4 tickets to the Sports Fest that we'll be hosting at the Expo Center on August the 7th with an array of panels. We'll have former Vols, we'll have Lady Vols, we'll have a media panel, a high school heroes panel, coaches panel, you name it. We'll have basketball panel. We got a lot going on. So that's the Sports Fest at the Expo Center, August 7th. All right, here is the trivia question. It's a little bit tricky, but let's see how we do with this one. All right. Name the most recent athlete who played for the Vols or Lady Vols that won a gold medal in the Olympics. It was in 2016. Name the most recent Vol or Lady Vol that had a connection with the Vols or Lady Vols to win a gold medal in the Olympics. It was in 2016.
656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with John. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. I have no idea, so I'm just going to throw out Justin Gatlin.
It was not Gatlin. He does have a gold medal, but it was not in 2016.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure to appreciate it. It's Dan who's up next. Hello, Dan.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Was it Tarwater?
It was not Davis Tarwater. He did in 2012. So we're looking for somebody in 2016. Right. But he did win a gold medal. And he went to Michigan.
Yeah, he's not a Vol.
Yeah.
But he married well.
Yeah, yes, he did.
Let's go next to Buddy. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Buddy.
Did you say Justin Gatlin?
It is not Justin Gatlin.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Sure to appreciate it. Randy is our next guesser. Hi, Randy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Is it Candace Parker?
Not Candace Parker. She actually didn't play in the 2016 Olympics because a knucklehead coach did not select her to play.
I remember you saying that the other day. Nobody likes you calling anyways.
Randy, we sure do appreciate it. Have a great night, all right?
You too.
All right. And repeat the question, if you would.
Name the most recent athlete who was a Vol or a Lady Vol to win a gold medal in the Olympics. It was in 2016.
656-9900, 656-9900. Jason joins us next. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Good. How about Monica Abbott?
Not Monica Abbott. She actually has 2 silver medals to her credit. One this year, and the other one was in 2008.
Which was the last time they had softball prior to this year.
Which is also ridiculous.
Yeah.
Knucklehead IOC.
Yes. Bunch of knuckleheads out there. Jason, have a great night. Josh is up next. Hello, Josh.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Yeah, is it Kira Toussaint?
No, it is not. The swimmer, yeah. She's from another country. She's in the Olympics this year also, but it is not Toussaint.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
Josh, we sure do appreciate it. We go next to Chad. Hello, Chad. How are you?
All righty, how you guys doing?
Doing fine, thanks.
What about Kara Lawson?
It is not Kara Lawson. She has a gold medal, but not in 2016.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Sure to appreciate it, Chad. It's Robbie who's our next guesser. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, would it be Tamika Catchings?
Yes, it is Tamika Catchings. She's the most recent. And Robbie, the thing that I said it was tricky, there was another Tennessee athlete that won gold in 2016. And it was, I don't know if you'd remember this, but it was Tiana Madison Bartoletta. She won in the long jump in the 4x100 relay, but she won hers her last medal was August 19th. Catchings was August the 20th. So Catchings was the most recent by one day. It also was somebody that I thought would be easier to guess than Tiana Madison Bartoletta. So it is Tamika Catchings. Robbie, you've won a $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn. Also, four tickets to the Sports Fest at the Expo Center that we're hosting August the 7th. Congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you.
Thanks, guys.
Sure do appreciate it, Robbie. Well done, Robbie. And that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6.
Let's hear now from Jimbo Fisher, head coach, Texas A&M. The Aggies were very close to making the college football playoff a year ago. They went 9-1, and that is by far the best year they've had. In fact, it's the highest ranking they've had at A&M since like 1939, something ridiculous. But they lose Kellen Mond, so they got Haynes King probably a quarterback. Really good roster, though. Line of scrimmage is outstanding. And A&M is a team that a lot of people really like as far as being a top 10, if not a top 5 team. Here comment from the Aggies head coach, Jimbo Fisher.
After going 9-1, you guys are obviously no longer flying under the radar at all. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to be giving you your best shot. Is that kind of what you expect? And how do you know?
Well, that's where you want to be. You want to be relevant. You want to be everybody's game that they mark on the calendar. That means you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you become the organization you want to become. And now we have to deal with that, and we have to handle that, and we have to understand the responsibilities that go with that and the standard at which we have to play and practice and prepare which each and every week.
Coach, we're going to your left on the second row.
Hey, Jimbo. Rocco DeSanger from WHNT-TV in Huntsville. You and Nick had a little bit of a back and forth mm-hmm. this offseason. It was comical to a lot of people. You said you were going to beat his rear end, and he said in golf.
Yeah.
First of all, who's the better golfer between you two?
I don't even play anymore. I'd have to practice for a week to be able to play with him.
And second of all, how is
no,
that?
No, I'm joking. He's the golfer, not me.
How has that off-the-field relationship grown between you guys over the years?
It's great. I mean, I have the utmost respect for them. And our whole statement of that was that they're the standard you have to play at, and that's why we're here. And we have to meet that standard, and we have to play at that standard every week. And then, and when that game comes, we can still play at the same standard. It doesn't matter who our opponent is. But they've raised the bar. They've done a great job and have the utmost respect for him and their program for sure.
Coach, to your right, second row.
Hey, Coach. Mike Lucas, KXTV and College Station. With nine starters back on defense and a couple superstars in that group, how dominant can we expect this defense to be?
Well, I hope so. And again, one of the reasons you're good on defense is you're good on offense. You don't turn it over. You can score points. You can eat the clock. You can do things there. But also that their standard of how they're going to play will go up. And they just have to play up to their capabilities. We have some tremendous players. Mike's a tremendous coach, got a great staff. And I think, don't put too much pressure on yourself to play well. Just play well. Do what you do. Play up to your capabilities, the standards in which you have, and I think they'll be fine. But they're a very talented group and a very well-coached group.
Coach, to your left, third row.
Hey, Coach Jacques Doucet, WAFB in Baton Rouge. Covering high school football, the name Texas A&M seems to be coming up more in Louisiana in terms of recruiting. I know you can't talk about specifics.
Yes, y'all got a lot of good players in Louisiana.
That's right. That's right. And so can you talk about how you've been able to recruit Louisiana and just what have you built at A&M in terms of stacking these classes up there?
Well, if you're going to play at the highest levels, you have to put three classes back to back to back because you got to create depth, you got to create competition in practice, and you got to find out who the best players are each and every time. You got to have that group, and we got to continue to do that. And as long as we continue to win, we ought to be able to have those classes because people want to come where they win if we do a good job. So that's very important. It's, you just don't have one class. Or you don't have a class and a bad class and another. You can't get to where you're going. You have to consistently have good players. Listen, all of us coaches have egos, and we all think we're great coaches. Well, real good coaches when we got real good players. And I'm going to say that. And recruiting is a big part of that. Then it gets into player development. We have to develop our players, put them in the right positions, and let them grow as players. And, hopefully we've built that there. Hopefully we can consistently do that. Because if you don't net in this league, they'll let you know real, real quick.
Coach, to your right in the third row.
Jimbo, as they say, iron sharpens iron. How has coaching with Nick Saban 20 years ago and now against him in the same conference helped make you better?
Well, I mean, your standard of how you know that you're not going against a team that's not ill-prepared. You're not going against a team that's not very talented because they recruit well, and they're going to be able to handle big situations. So if you want to match that, you better be at your best, and it keeps you at your best all year round. Just like he lives it every day of the year, I live it every day of the year. And if you don't, you can't meet that standard. And, he's done a great job of that, and that's the way he was when I coached for him, and that's the way he definitely is now that I'm going against him, there's no doubt.
Coach, to your left, second row.
Coach Ryan Hennessy, NBC 13 here in Birmingham. Some unfortunate, sad news that came out about Bobby Bowden today. Yes. And I couldn't think of a better person to ask this question to. What did he mean to you? What does he mean to you? And what impact has he made on your coaching career? He's impacted a lot of people here in Birmingham.
Their family has big impact on my career as any family, anything I've ever done in ball. My father and my mother give me the opportunities. But then when I started playing for Terry in 1984, people always accused me of being a Bowden. I used to go stay at their house. I would stay there. I would go to practices and watch. I would sit in meetings and listen to him organize and coach his coaches, coach his players, organize game plan. I sat in the press box. I go to bowl games with him. They put me up when I became a coordinator at Sanford and let me go to bowl games with him and watch him organize meetings, sit with a headset on and listen to him call the game, how you want to call plays, how you want to set things up, and just everything you could humanly do to give me an opportunity. You know, coaching for Terry and Jeff, and they coach me, and then I coach with them and Tommy and new Steve and Ginger, and I mean, all of them. But Bobby just always embraced me and taught me and talked to me when I had things to ask, things to do. And then when I was fortunate enough to be able to coach, one of the reasons I wanted to go back and coach with him. And I think, I don't know if there's anybody that's ever done it with any more grace, dignity, or class on the sideline in college football in the history of this game, and had the success he had winning, doing the things he does, and the impact he had on his coaches and the impact he had on his players and everybody who came in contact with him. He's as fine a guy, man, as there ever was, and he means the world to me, and it's a very sad day for me to think of that. I just talked to him just less than a month ago, and we had a talk, and it was funny. He said, you know, I feel good. He said, I get the Houston paper, and I keep up with you every day, buddy. I'm keeping up. You're doing good and all this stuff, and it's just fun, and, you know, that he has that respect. But then at the same time, I said, how you feeling, coach? He said, you know, I don't feel bad. Just don't have a lot of energy and can't go. And then, of course, been 3 or 4 weeks later, he gets a diagnosis. And but what a man. That's all I can say, what a man.
Coach, to your right in the front row.
What's the quarterback battle like? I know you've been asked that a lot, but, you know, just how close are you to naming a starter?
Well, they'll name the starter. I won't know how they play and what they do. And I'm very blessed to have two guys that I'm very confident with. Those guys can – Zach's tough. He's competitive. He's mentally tough. He understands the offense. He can run. People don't understand how good athlete he is. Haynes really knows what's going on. He's competitive, tough, throws the ball really well. So we got two excellent guys. So I'm looking forward to the battle coming fall camp. I mean, I don't know. I'll know when I know and when they tell me.
Coach, to your left, front row.
Hey, Coach Justin Keggs, TV and College Station. Given that, how nice is it to have Isaiah Spiller, Devon Achane, Jalen Wattemeyer? I mean, your weapons are plentiful around those quarterbacks, but do they have to play well too, right?
Well, they do. They have to. Their game's got to go up. But like you say, you got all three leading receivers back. You got Anais, who's phenomenal, as good a player as anybody. Hez and Chase, all three of your top receivers. You got Wiedemeyer's All-American tight end. You got Spiller, who's All-American caliber back. You got Achane, who's MVP of the game. So all those skill guys around those guys are played. Then you get, people forget, you get Caleb Chapman back. Chapman was playing pretty daggone good when had a pretty good Florida game and some games before he got hurt. Demas is in there. JP's in there. Getting Moose Muhammad back in there. Get Devin Price in that group. I mean, all those guys, getting those guys back, it's a great group of guys. And to have quarterback to break them in, you want all your skill guys and all those guys around with experience. And that's going to be a huge part of their success, which I think is going to be a big advantage for those guys.
Coach, to your right, second row.
Jimbo, how do you keep everybody happy, though, with touches and whatnot when you have so many weapons to your disposal?
Simple. Best players play, and I tell them. We keep them honest where they're at, what they're doing, and we did last year. I mean, we got the ball. One thing we do in the way we run our offense, the ball gets distributed around. They all get touches, and we're very versed in what we do, and whether it's run or pass, and getting the ball to different guys. So we have those guys, and they'll get their touches.
To your left, Coach, third row.
Coach Matt Trent, WBRZ in Baton Rouge. Yes. I know the news of Texas and Oklahoma maybe coming to the SEC is still fresh and you don't know a whole lot about it, but your AD said that he's really not for it because he wants Texas A&M to be the lone team from Texas in the SEC. How big of an identity deal is this going to be moving forward?
Well, I mean, A&M being in the SEC is great for us. It helps us tremendously. And like I say, it's speculation. You don't know what's going to happen. But for a conference to expand and do that, there's a lot that's got to go in. There's a bunch of other teams that they're saying left out. What do you do with those? What do they play? I mean, there's a lot left that we can say. We just talk about Texas and Oklahoma, and, hey, they got a great conference. They're proud of it.
To your right, second row.
Coach, you got to replace four starters from the offensive line last season. When you have that many holes to fill in a unit, what's the process of figuring out who fits best where and how to get them up?
Experimentation and where you put and what you think guys are. And but again, I'm saying this. I think we're very talented there. I'm very blessed. And getting Jameer in, having experience helps. Luke is really an older guy. You don't realize, think of him as a young guy. But, he's an older guy who's really knowledgeable. And then, of course, Layden has played some, has done really well, powerful. Aki does a great job. So I'm very excited about that group, along with the backups in which we have, and then the young freshmen we're bringing in. So I'm anxious. I'm really anxious to watch that group grow because, I mean, it's a very talented group of guys.
Two final questions. The first one right here in the front row.
Coach, you mentioned Caleb Chapman. What's his status? Is he going to be 100% this season?
Yes.
And what do you expect from him?
He's 100%. He's ready to go. He's doing all the running, all the training, and everything right now. He's ready to go.
Final question, Coach, to your left, front row again.
Last one here, Coach. Your DBs, they're all back as well. Mm-hmm. What do you expect from that group, and especially your safeties with the leadership back in the back?
Well, there is a leadership group there with Damani and Leon and AJ and Carper, and all those guys are in that position, whether you're nickel, but in your corners with the Jones boys and Brian George and then all Chappelle and Deuce Harmon, all those young guys in that group. I mean, they're all very talented too. So having that group and the versatility to mix and match those guys, and there's a lot of length, size, and athleticism. So very excited about that group.
Comments from Texas A&M coach Jimbo Fisher. And if the Aggies are good at quarterback, they don't have to be great. They don't have to be Johnny Manziel great. But if they're good at quarterback, they can be a top 10 team, I would think. All right, let's hear now from Jordan Davis, the outstanding defensive lineman from Georgia. We had a chance to catch up with him at the SEC Football Media Days. Here are comments from Jordan Davis.
Jordan, what's your experience been like here at Football Media Days?
It's amazing. You only hear about this stuff in, like, stories that the older players tell you and everything, but just being here is a great experience, and I'm grateful for it. I'm glad I made the trip and, you know, just had a good time here.
I've talked to several players here that said it was a dream of theirs to be able to represent their school at Football Media Days. Did you feel that way also?
I wouldn't say it was a dream. It was just a very high aspiration. Mm-hmm. I've seen players like Jonathan Ledbetter before me and J.R. Reed and Andrew Thomas, and I was just like, you know what, that's something I want to do. I want to be able to represent Georgia in this way, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to do that.
Coach Kirby Smart said that you vacillated between 330 pounds and 370. Where are you now?
I'm at 340 right now.
340. Where do you want to be? Is that a good weight for you?
Yeah, I just got to keep chopping. I want to get lower, as low as I can.
He also said that you're the reason that Georgia is so good at stopping the run. What makes you so effective in stopping the run?
The technique that we use. At D-line, mm-hmm. we have to teach about two-gap defense. And, you know, that was one of those things that I really cleaned on. And just being a zero nose tackle, you have to be, you know, efficient at two-gap and taking on double teams. And, you know, that's how we play our system. That's how we play our game. And just making sure that I'm able to sacrifice myself to make sure that the linebackers run free.
Where do you need to improve your game? Would it be as a pass rusher? Or
definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I need to be a better pass rusher. And that's one thing that I'm working on this week. Not this week, but in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Just keeping my feet moving, just moving forward, keeping my hands moving, just becoming a better, effective pass rusher as well as I am a run defender.
Lots expected of Georgia this year. What would it mean for you to get back into a college football playoff?
Oh, definitely. I never had an opportunity to experience that. But, you know, it's a goal that we have. But, you know, we got to go 1-0 each week mm-hmm. to get to that point. So that's our main goal right now, is just to win the first game and work on ourselves so everything falls into place.
Coach Smart said of you early today, he said that that Jordan's a great player but an even better person. What does that mean to have your head coach say that about you?
It means a lot, honestly, because I also, you know, I do play football, but I also want to be known as a great player and a great person. And just be able to have that legacy where I'm known as being a great person means a lot, this aspect.
Tell me about Dogs for Pups.
Dogs for Pups is a organization that the football players, we just brainstormed one day, and we want to have more community outreach. And so we've been going to schools and reading books and having book drives. And I spoke at a fifth grade graduation. And so that was really important to me when I spoke to the fifth grade graduation, because it was just like, I remember I was that kid, you know, mm-hmm. and I looked up to people, and being able to give back in that aspect just meant a lot to me. And when people gave back when I was little, it meant a lot to me at that time. So I just wanted to make sure that I could do that for the kids.
So you're only in your 20s. You're still in college. But do you still see yourself as a role model?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'm a role model to little kids around the city where I'm from in Charlotte. I'm a role model to my brothers. I'm a role model to anybody who thinks of me as like a role model. And I just want to make sure that I set a good example for everybody who looks at me as a role model.
Georgia football team, JT Daniels took over quarterback late in the year, got the offense sparked, defense is outstanding. This has a chance to be an exceptional Georgia team, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You always say unfinished business, and I feel like we have a lot on the table. But you know, once we achieve ourselves and we work on ourselves, then we're able to achieve a lot more than we thought we could.
Name, image, and likeness. Do you have anything going on with that?
Absolutely not. I kind of stayed away from it. I kind of deleted social media, so I don't really have anything going for me. But I'm really proud of the players that are doing something and using that platform to, you know, provide for their family and everything that they're doing.
Why'd you stay away from it? Did you see that as a distraction from playing football?
Yeah, it's a distraction, and one is confusing. So I don't, it's a lot of rules and stipulations, but there's just, you know, the, you know, it's good for the others. Me personally, I probably won't get into it. Like, if something happens, it happens, but at this point, I'm just...
I got to tell you this. So I asked Ed Orgeron, I said, if you were in college and they had name, image, and likeness, could you make a lot of money? He said, yeah, I'd make about $5 a week. I would think you would do better than that if you engaged in it.
Yeah, who knows? But, you know, I'm just here enjoying the ride. You know, it's more about football than name, image, likeness for me.
Got one other thing for you. College football playoff is going from 4 to 12. You're not going to be part of that, but it's going to eventually go from 4 to 12. Mm-hmm. And North Carolina players voted against that. They didn't want to go to 12 teams in a playoff. They liked four. Mm-hmm. Do you have any observation on that?
Honestly, this is the first time I'm hearing about it. And I definitely think it's interesting. I don't know how they'll go about it, but, you know, I'll probably be long gone. So I'm just excited to see how they're going to go about that. But this is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Yeah, and it'll give more teams an opportunity to be in it. But then there's some that are saying, well, that makes for a long season also. Yeah. I would think if you're in the playoff, though, you probably wouldn't mind a long season if you're playing for a national championship.
Absolutely not. If you're playing for a natty, man, it doesn't matter how many games are in it. Playing for a natty.
Comments from Georgia defensive lineman Jordan Davis. Let's hear now from Arkansas linebacker Grant Morgan. He was one of two linebackers for the Razorbacks that had over 100 tackles. And even though Arkansas only won three games, probably should have beat Auburn except for some interesting officiating, and could have won four more games than the three. Grant Morgan, a big part of that. Here's Eric Kane's conversation with the Arkansas linebacker.
Year, is that correct? Yes. Taking advantage of the COVID year, had a redshirt year.
Yep.
So it's like you're an Arkansas lifer, man. You've done a whole lot of that university. How's it feel to still be here and to get one more go at it?
Oh, it means the world. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Especially, it was an easy decision to come back just because the type of guy Pittman is. With the coaching staff that he has and the way that he runs his program, it wasn't a hard decision for me. I had to base it off kind of my draft grade, and I was a 5th through 7th draft grade. So I decided, you know what, I can come back, help this legacy a lot better, help out everybody, do the things that we set out to do that we weren't able to last year that we want to do this year.
What else went into that process? You mentioned the draft grade and everything, but evaluating whether you should leave or you should come back. I know it was, you know, probably weeks to months of, you know, discussions and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, it was talking with agents, talking with scouts, talking with family members, like, a lot of prayer. So we just based off the decision off of what was best for me in the long run. I thought I could have been done right there and not even tried to go to the NFL or went to the NFL. Like, there was a lot of different options. So this was best for me in the long run.
Barry Odom comes over, of course, you know, hired by Sam Pittman. How has he helped you in your game?
Oh, he's helped me out tremendously. The way he breaks it down into fundamentals, the way he breaks it down into how simple the game is, he makes the game seem so simple. If you're just a normal person on the street, you'd look at it and be like, that's all you got to do. Like, he literally, we break it down on run and hit, because that's how simple football is. All we do as a defense is you run and hit the guy with the ball. So when it's simple and when he makes it fun to play for, it really does help you out a ton.
I know you've been asked this probably 7 times already, but how is the culture different from, you know, it doesn't have to be better or for worse, but just different from where it was your first, I guess, 4 years at Arkansas and now the last two?
I think the one thing that we changed, or that the coach changed, Coach Pittman changed, is we don't have, in the last couple coaches or whatever, we didn't, like, they thought there was a Arkansas secret sauce of winning or something. There's a secret weapon of winning. And now with Pittman, like, there's no secret weapon. We're here to just work hard. Like, we're here to just do something right and just do it the right way and just work hard. There's no secret to winning. There's no – you don't have, like, a special power and you win games. Like, it's literally you just work hard. So that's one thing we focused on and one thing he's really instilled in our culture has done.
Could you add a little bit more to that in terms – I mean, I know you were working hard before. It's not like you weren't working hard. But what was that extra thing you – whenever you say, like, secret sauce to trying to find success?
So, like, in the past, like, it's been, oh, we're so close, guys. We just got to get past this game, or we got to get past this and we can start winning. Like, with Pittman, it's – there's literally not a single thing you can do except go to work today. You're here today for football. What are you here to do? Like, we're not here to learn a certain play that's going to make us win that fourth down. We're here to go hard and go work hard as can be. So when the culture changes, how genuine Coach Pittman was, he's the same guy every single day. So when we're consistent, we're the same guy every single day, then that's what brings in that culture change. You don't have guys who are fighting or bickering back and forth. You have guys who go through hard times together, and you grasp one another because, like, you have to bring somebody up with you, or you might have to be pulled up with you. So the culture change in that was just purely, like, when you go through hard times, you get closer, and that's just how the culture's changed.
Sounds like his reputation of being a player's coach is certainly true, right?
Yeah, by far. He's a player's coach by far, but it's not like he's demanding it at all. He's literally just being himself. And it's not like he's a goofball or anything. He's just genuine.
So you, again, this is, you're going on your sixth year. You were, you know, first team all SEC last year, coach as AP. You've been, you know, a lot of postseason awards. You are an Arkansas guy. You know, what's it mean for you to grow up in the state of Arkansas, likely a fan? I can't speak for you, but likely a fan, and to go and have success at this school. You know, could you imagine this, you know, 10 years ago?
Probably not 10 years ago. No, like I didn't know what I was going to be doing. If you tell me at the beginning of my career that I was going to do it, I would have said, yeah. But in the back of my head, I would have been like, what if I don't? Like, what if I self-doubt? So to be able to be here and to be able to do the stuff that I'm doing right now, it's awesome. It really is like a dream come true. And to be able to even be here at SC Media Days, like, it's really fun. Like, to be able to talk to everybody, it's been a dream come true, and to be able to, like, kind of enjoy it more than anything.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. It might be what I'm about to ask you right now, but what's been the weirdest question that you've been asked today, maybe the one that caught you by surprise? Does one jump out at you?
Jordan Rogers asked me what's one wedding advice, because I'm married. He asked me on his wedding day what advice I had to give him, so I had to answer that question for him. That was funny.
Well, I've got a lot, man. All right, so what's the last thing for you? You've come a long way. Obviously, you've gotten better and better and better, and have additionally an NFL career in front of you. What's one part of your game that you that you're the most proud of, that you've worked the hardest at, and you're seeing improvements for?
Yeah, I think just the football knowledge. I think I've always been kind of smart with football, but I think the how to dissect a team and how to be able to go ahead and be able to grow and knowing the tendencies and knowing different types of formations. I think the play knowledge has grown so much for me, and knowledge is power in football. It really is. So, like, many of you can play the play before they even run it. So I think that's one thing that I've decided to I kind of even continue to grow on and be able to grow on that. But I think that's the best thing.
That's Arkansas star linebacker Grant Morgan. All right, a couple of notes out there. Randall Cobb, the product of Alcoa, went to Kentucky, was with Green Bay the first 8 years of his career. It's been reported that Aaron Rodgers, one of his request of Green Bay was to reacquire Randall Cobb because he hasn't had a very good slot receiver since Cobb left. They drafted Amari Rodgers, the Catholic product, who went to Clemson in the third round to fill that role. But apparently Aaron Rodgers feels Randall Cobb would be better at that. Cobb turns 31 August the 22nd. And so it's expected that the Texans are going to make that trade to Green Bay due to the request of Aaron Rodgers. There was also talk about Oklahoma and Texas maybe costing them $75 to $80 million to leave the Big 12 if they exit early. There was a mention of reminding people when Maryland left the ACC to go to the Big 10, their buyout was $50 million. They settled on $31 million. Not sure how all that went down. But anyway, the point there being maybe Oklahoma and Texas don't end up paying the $75 to $80 million exit fee. We'll see what happens. Some baseball notes. Sohei Ohtani became the fourth pitcher in the last 30 years, John, you probably already know this since he's on your team, to have a hit, an RBI, a stolen base, and a run scored in the same inning as a pitcher.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. He also has 35 home runs. And the note about that also includes, he went seven innings. He got the win. Seven innings, allowed one run, no walks, five strikeouts. So he's got 35 home runs and 100 strikeouts. You got to go back to Wes Farrell in 1939, nine home runs and 123 strikeouts. That doesn't even come close to comparing what Ohtani's doing right now.
No.
So it's also the most home runs for a pitcher with 100 strikeouts in a season since 1893. That's a pretty good mark.
That is a pretty good mark.
Yep. Angels beat Colorado 6-2 as Ohtani ran his record to 5-1. His last pitch in the seven innings was 100 miles per hour.
It's not too shabby. Quick note, Smokies are about to take over on AM 990, so Smokies baseball comes your way on AM 990 in less than a minute.
Astros blow a 7-0 lead to Seattle. They lose 11-8. Houston won 342 games in a row with a 7-1 lead. Seattle, in its history, is now 7-717 when down by 7.
Okay.
It's a lot of sevens in that equation.
That is. Go to Vegas with that many sevens.
Yes, that's right. They also have missed the playoffs 19 years in a row. That's the longest active streak. But Seattle is also 23-8 in one-run games. Boston beating Toronto 5-4. It's the 33rd comeback win of the season for the Red Sox. That's the most in Major League Baseball. And then Atlanta, they won 2-0 over the Mets. Then they lost 1-0. So they give up one run in the doubleheader, and they split it. The Braves, by the way, have played 11 doubleheaders this year, which is an awful lot. And then ESPN had a mock draft for the NBA. Cade Cunningham is their number one pick. Cunningham has signed a lucrative deal with Nike, and it's expected that out of the draft picks, he will sign the most lucrative shoe deal. Jalen Green at number 2, Evan Mobley at 3, Jalen Suggs at number 4, Scotty Barnes at number 5. So we'll see. And then no Keon Johnson in the first round. Among the first 10 picks. As we were talking with Rob Lewis yesterday, his stock seems to have dropped a little bit. So, let's see. As far as the Olympics, and I didn't mention this earlier, but in volleyball, the USA beat China. China, and all of the games are pretty close, but they're one of the favorites to win a medal, and they're 0-2 with USA with a nice win in volleyball.
Come John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
Derek Stingley, the cornerback at LSU, is one of the best defensive players in the SEC. He's one of the best defensive players in the nation. He was at SEC Football Media Days, and our Eric Kane had a chance to catch up with the LSU cornerback.
Derek Stingley Jr. here, LSU defensive back. How have you grown as a player from your freshman season, now entering your junior season, and what hopes to be a promising NFL career after this year?
I've grown a lot. I mean, I've seen a lot. I've seen the best. I just hope to take that into this year and play to the best of my ability. We done had this whole spring ball, and we're getting ready for fall camp. So I'm excited to see what happens this year.
What's something you focused on over the course of the years, or maybe even this offseason, to make yourself a better player?
More quickness, hand speed, feet speed, eye discipline, really everything, to be honest. Like, it was no specific thing that I really worked on. It was everything.
Would you consider yourself versatile, and, like, do you try to pride yourself on knowing everything back there to kind of better prepare yourself to go up against those offenses?
Yeah. I mean, that does help, when you know what your teammate has next to you. It allows you to trust them. You'll know that they'll be in their spot. Or, like, if they have a question out there on the field, it feels good to know that you can help. And just like I would want them to help me if I had a question or didn't get the call. So,
going as a freshman, a lot of great success there as a freshman, obviously team success too. And how hungry are you to get back to that level after kind of a down year last year?
Going into this year, I'm focused on being the best version of myself. So who knows what that could be. I'm not really looking back on my freshman year or my sophomore year trying to imitate that. I'm trying to go and be better, the best that I can be.
A lot of great quarterbacks, a lot of great offensive players in the SEC, obviously, out there in the SEC West. Any players stick out to you? Maybe one of your teammates in practice. Anybody stick out to you so far in your career as being a real challenge to either cover or defend?
Yeah, I've had plenty of them that stuck out, They all brought something different to the table, and they all taught me a lot.
Last thing I got for you, man, how challenging was, I know you're fortunate to play, and you said that you never even considered opting out, but how challenging was last year with the cancellation games and having to move things around with some players opting out, and just this virus that we really didn't know anything about?
Mm-hmm. Well, with all that going on, like, it really messed up the flow. It really messed up the flow of, like, game week, game days, there was times we didn't know if we were going to play. You had people thinking we weren't going to play a game or we were. So it was difficult, you know. So I'm glad that this year it's all kind of getting behind us, you know. And we're going out there and have a full season.
All right, I lied. One more thing. What do you like the best about yourself on the football field? What's your best trait that you have brought in about yourself?
I would probably say my ball skills, because you can good DBs, you know, they can cover you, they can guard the best receivers, but you know the great ones is whether they can catch the ball or not, and that's something that I've always worked on since a little kid, you know, catching the ball, make sure the ball is in my hand.
All right, man, best luck on your junior campaign.
Thank you.
That's Derek Stingley Jr.
All right, the LSU outstanding cornerback. Madden 22, they are listing the top 10 at each position. ESPN is coming out with that. They've got the wide receivers out. Number one wide receiver in the NFL, Devontae Adams of Green Bay, DeAndre Hopkins with the Cardinals, then Tyreek Hill with Kansas City, Stephon Diggs with Buffalo, Julio Jones now with the Titans. That's your top five. At number six, Michael Thomas with the Saints. Then you got Keenan Allen with the Chargers, Amari Cooper with Dallas, Mike Evans with Tampa Bay, Allen Robinson with Chicago. And then they did the top 10 pass rushers. We're going to go in reverse order. At number 10, Za'Darius Smith of Green Bay, Nick Bosa of San Francisco, then Joey Bosa of the Chargers, then Von Miller with Denver is number 7. At number 6, Cam Jordan with the Saints. You got to be higher. Number 5, J.J. Watt with the Cardinals. 4, Chandler Jones also with the Cardinals. And then T.J. Watt with Pittsburgh. Number 2, Khalil Mack. And then number 1, Miles Garrett. And Miles Garrett has been a great player at Cleveland. He was a tremendous player at Texas A&M. And number 1 overall pick of the draft, and he's done very well in the NFL.
Boy, he sure has. He is such a difference maker. And it's hard not to look at Cleveland and say that's the team that is best suited to win the North Division.
Yeah, it is hard to say that. I do remember having this debate when Miles Garrett and Derek Barnett were both in college, and I was trying to make the case that, well, Barnett's sacks came against better teams than Miles Garrett. He's racking up sacks against Rice. Okay, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
yeah, he's proven to be a fantastic NFL player. Great, great pass rusher.
Very much so. That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk. If you happen to miss any of our conversations, you can find them easily at 991thesportsanimal.com. Jimmy Himes, have a great night.
You too, John.
We'll be back again with Sports Talk tomorrow. Smokies Baseball is next.